The market is crashing. Real estate is no longer experiencing crazy all-time highs. The stock market has decimated by over 50%. Cryptocurrency is being completely diminished. NFTs are a thing of the past, and we are officially going into a recession. How do you prepare yourself? How do you understand the economic indicators? And what can you do to make sure you come out of this not just alive, but striving and thriving to become a bigger, better person after this recession goes through? I'm attorney Ali Awad with the CEO Lawyer Podcast, and today we're talking about real estate, cryptocurrencies, and NFTs. First, let's talk about real estate. In 2020, we were so overdue for a recession that every economic indicator stated that we would be getting into a recession in 2020. And the crazy thing that happened was instead we got COVID. And what COVID did was basically kick the can down the road. The feds decided to print trillions of dollars and give every one of us $1,400 to think that we have this little bit of extra money. Everyone was going on unemployment. The interest rates dropped to all-time lows. Oil became negatively priced. You could actually buy barrels of oil for, like, they would pay you to take them. That had never happened in the history of the world. And basically, it seemed like everyone had an unlimited amount of money. You could literally blindly throw some cash into the stock market and it'll double in value over the next 12 months. That's not how the economy is going to work forever, and that's definitely not how it's going to work in the next years from 2022 and beyond. So home prices doubled in the past 5 years, pretty much everywhere. In some areas triple, in some areas quadruple. I was looking at one of my friend's homes, and he had purchased the home, or the home was initially purchased in 1993 for $197,000. He purchased it in 2017 for $350,000. At the time, I was like, this is a really bad investment in 2017. Like, why would you pay $350,000 for a home? It's clearly the highest priced home in a community. You should never be the highest priced home in a cul-de-sac. And it's not in a great area, and you just are wasting money. And he was like, nah, man, I mean, it's great for my family. This is what I wanted. And now, 5 years later, the price has doubled. Most people think, okay, well, now I'm an investment expert. Like, I can buy real estate and I know, hey, clearly you just buy real estate and the price is going to double. That's not how it works. In fact, there were a lot of different economic indicators at play in 2020 to 2022 that caused real estate to fluctuate just completely anomalous and unpredictably. COVID was basically the catalyst for making people work from home. So everyone that was in office jobs that could do their work from home basically was sent home to work from their own home. What did that do? It made people want to leave the cities, the metropolitan areas, like me. I was never planning on buying a home, and I still think buying a home is a horrible investment. But I decided to do it because there's no point in me living in Midtown. It's not like I'm going to my office in downtown anymore. I can work from home, build my own studio, build my office, and enjoy myself and get everything that I could possibly want out of life and working all in one awesome home. And that's what I did in 2020. I stopped my lease at my apartment and decided to buy a home. Next thing that happened was the Fed started printing a ridiculous amount of money, which caused inflation. We talk about the dollar depreciating at a value at an average rate of 3% per year. Well, it depreciated at about 15% from 2020 to 2021. So everything that you used to be able to buy for, let's say, $100 is now costing you about $115. That's exactly what happened with real estate. So super high supply, super high demand for real estate caused by people wanting to work from home, coupled with the Fed's printing money and basically giving you loans at ridiculously low rates in the ones and twos, plus having a shortage in lumber and building supplies and materials and a workforce meant we couldn't build more homes. All of this happened in the short course of 12 to 24 months, and it caused real estate prices to skyrocket. And so now people think, okay, well, clearly we're gonna be heading into a recession because now it's just like 2008 when everyone was buying homes left and right, and we're obviously can't continue this growth trajectory. That's wrong. I predict that the residential real estate market is not going to crash. The reason being is because we're in a very different world in 2022 than we were in 2008. In 2008, banks were loaning money to people that didn't have money. And so people were buying homes just because the banks were making a killing, and the loan officers especially were making fat commissions, giving people loans to buy homes that they were not qualified for. In 2008, we also didn't have as much international investment. Right now, China owns, or Chinese investors own, so many homes and so much real estate in the United States. We also didn't have as strong of an investment from BlackRock and other real estate companies that were basically buying up all the homes. Right now, BlackRock Group owns 1 in 7 homes in the United States. They have over $10 trillion in assets, and it's only climbing. So America is no longer for sale. It's for rent. Everyone is buying up these homes, and they're renting it back to you. Also, the mortgage rates just went up to 5% recently, and they're still climbing. It's the largest hike we've ever had. The reason for that is because the Feds realized that we printed, and when I say Fed, I mean the Federal Reserve, the United States of America, Treasury Department, realized we printed too much money, and we need to adjust for the inflation. We need to adjust for all this cash that's out there. And the way that they do that is by charging you a higher interest rate. And that's obviously going to slow down the purchases of homes from consumers. It's not going to slow down the purchase of homes from big investment institutions, because all they need to do is just wait it out and continue renting. What we will see is a drop in commercial real estate, because restaurants can no longer compete because they have to pay employees a minimum of $15 or $20 an hour just to stick around, and people don't want to work anymore. They're realizing that they could just deliver food to you, so you don't have to have an established brick and mortar facility. You can just do Uber Eats or DoorDash or whatever. And it's getting more and more competitive, especially for these outdated business models like the O'Charlies, like the Applebee's, like the Olive Gardens of the world. They really need to change their business model if they want to survive. And so that entire industry of the sit-down restaurant is getting decimated, and it's getting replaced by fast food and fast casual. So I see that all those commercial real estate opportunities are going to be opening up. And the reason they're going to be so cheap is because people don't really need to work in an office anymore, unless you're in a medical facility or a place where you actually need to touch people physically, like dentist's office, like eye doctors, like any other type of physician. You don't need to really work in a facility. Even law firms, like my law firm runs completely virtually. We have people all over the state and all spread out through the Southeast, and people that can literally work from anywhere in the world, and our business is running smoothly. In fact, it's running better because we're not forcing people to drive to the office. I just got reached out to by my landlord in my downtown office that said, look, we want to lease you the entire floor. They're like, hey, you're the biggest tenant here. We want to give you the entire floor. And they're giving it to me for pennies on the dollar. And the crazy thing is, I don't want it. Like, I have an opportunity to have a massive floor in downtown Atlanta with road frontage on Peachtree Street, and I don't want it. I'd rather own real estate than to just lease at this point, because I feel like there's going to be a major hit to the commercial real estate market because of restaurants going out of business and not being able to find good workers, because of employees going virtual and working from home, and because the overall value of the dollar has depreciated so much that the new minimum wage is now $15 an hour, and the only way that you can really compete is by not forcing people to drive and put wear and tear on their vehicles and giving them incentives to work from home, which also drops your insurance costs and your costs of workers' comp insurance. Overhead is dropped by companies, so they don't have to pay for massive real estate offices and spaces. They don't have to have snacks and beverages and all. Like, there are so many benefits to working from home and having your people be comfortable working from home. So what's happening is instead technology and software is where all the money's at. Now, it's interesting because this real estate dichotomy that's happening in the real estate and commercial market is impacted by cryptocurrency and NFTs. So cryptocurrencies have been on fire since 2017. Bitcoin, Ethereum, Litecoin, everyone's talking about it. Shiba Inu, Dogecoin, like everyone wants to be a cryptocurrency bro and an investor now. But here's the thing. You ever thought about how maybe cryptocurrencies are stable, but it's the US dollar that fluctuates? People used to think that cryptocurrencies are not backed by anything. It's like, how could this be a valuable actual currency? But Bitcoin is backed by something. It's backed by actual real estate. It's backed by actual computers and hard drives and land that's required to basically mine for these Bitcoins. And so the people that are mining for these Bitcoins that have been mining for the past 10 years all have land, all have supercomputers, all have these microchips, and all have serious investment in Bitcoin. And that's the true backing. Unlike the US dollar, which went off of the gold standard in the 1970s, if something is unlimited and someone can literally say, let's just print some more money and pull it out of thin air, it does not have any value anymore. So that's why people are putting their money into other assets like gold, like luxury watches, like cryptocurrencies, because the confidence in the US dollar is going down. So why is it that cryptocurrency or Bitcoin, Litecoin, Ethereum, Shiba Inu, Dogecoin, all these random cryptos have these massive spikes? There are some other cryptocurrencies like Solana or Cardano or, you know, all these other cryptos that have come about that do actually have some real utility and real value. But here's the thing. 99% of the market is manipulated by these whales, these major investors and financial institutions that could shift the entire market however they want. It's literally the same thing that used to happen in the 80s and 90s with penny stocks, where they would pump and dump. They'd pump these stocks and then dump them and lose all of the smaller investors holding the bag. They'd leave everyone else with literally nothing. And so you have to be careful with these cryptocurrency investments. I do think everyone should have at least 5 to 10% of their assets tied with cryptocurrency. And I think cryptocurrency, especially Bitcoin, Ethereum, Litecoin, and even the classic versions and the cash versions have some sort of value to them. And it's a higher value and it's a more liquid type of currency than the US dollar. You ever tried to go and withdraw all of your cash from the bank? You ever thought about how hard it is? Let's say you have $50,000 in the bank and you go to your Bank of America or your Wells Fargo or your Chase, whatever, whoever you use, say, hey, I want my money back. The money you've been holding for me, the money you've been charging me $12 a month to save with your company, the money that you've been investing into the stock market and making the money off that spread, I want it back. They're going to say, well, we don't have $50,000 on us. We can give you five. And then you can make a request and we can order the cash to come in from the US Treasury and you can have it in a couple of weeks. That's how hard it is to pull your own cash. And then the FAA, the United States government, has all these rules where you can't travel with so much cash. You can't mail cash in the United States with the US Post Office. You can't have more than $10,000 on you, on your person, or in terms of valuables while you're flying. There's so many limitations with cash. But you don't have those with Bitcoin. You don't have those with crypto. Digital currency is the future. It doesn't even make sense to have coins anymore for the United States. Pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters, like it costs more to make a nickel than it's actually worth. It's preposterous. So I do think that there's a trend happening. And I do think 10, 15 years from now, we're going to look at this massive ship that is the United States government, and it's going to shift towards cryptocurrency. We already have a U.S. Crypto, a UST that you can purchase. It just so happens to be fluctuating, and it makes the entire market look like it's fluctuating because you have to think about these huge titans. Think about the BlackRock group. Think about these massive hedge funds. They can manipulate the market because they have access to trillions of dollars. So they can take their cash and trade it for Bitcoin and say, look, we have $5 billion in cash. We want to trade it for Bitcoin. What does that do? It immediately skyrockets the price of Bitcoin because now there's a huge whale that just bought into Bitcoin. And then they sell at a very high number. So they buy Bitcoin at 50K. They sell it for 60K within a matter of a week. The price drops to 30K. It's cut in half. And they buy all of it back. And they've doubled their holdings for Bitcoin just because of their sheer cash power and their reserves. That's what's happening with the crypto market. And so I don't think that if you are buying and selling crypto and you're a day trader of crypto, you're going to have a reliable path towards financial success. But I do think if you buy and hold for a decade, you're going to have much better returns than the stock market. But Ali, what about NFTs? We said we're going to talk about NFTs. Let me tell you about NFTs. More than 99% of these projects are going to die and they're not going to have any sort of utility. I think NFTs are a little early for adoption. I don't think people are ready to have all of their wealth stored on the blockchain and basically have access to these non-fungible tokens, these tickets, these investments, these coins, all on a digital wallet where if they lose the access key or the code, it just completely gets wiped out. I don't think people are ready for that. Maybe if it's connected to your fingerprint or your, you know, optic sensors, and there's a way for you to have access to all of this crypto and this digital currency and these NFTs without you potentially losing all of it, then I think there's going to be a higher chance of mass adoption. With that being said, there's only a couple of NFT projects that are actually continuing to increase in value, and it's those CryptoPunks, it's some of the V friends, and obviously there's some bias from Gary V promoting and pumping his NFT project and people, you know, trying to emulate it. They have the Flyfish product that he made with the restaurant, so only the NFT holders can go to this restaurant in New York and have access to this super crazy dining experience. There is some utility to these different NFT projects. But I feel like most of it is just hype. It's more just to get a bunch of celebrities in on it and telling them to hold on to these crypto, these NFT projects for long enough for the general public to adopt on a massive scale. And once the general public adopts, then you can slowly start selling your holdings and make a profit. That's kind of what's happening with crypto. That's what's happening with real estate. That's what's happening with NFTs. And all I can tell you is this. The person that has the most leverage and the most credit always wins in times of a recession. You don't need to have millions of dollars of cash available. You need to have millions of dollars in leverage and credit available. So what can you do right now to prepare for the upcoming recession? I'll tell you a couple of things. First, you should have all of your credit cards maxed out in terms of their limits. Not, oh, I have $1,000 on my credit card, let me go spend all of it. No. Call your bank and see if you can get a credit limit increase. Increase the amount of credit on all of your credit cards. And what that does is it raises your overall available limit. And even if you spend the same amount of money, it lowers your utilization of that credit. So if you have 5 credit cards, each with $20,000 on them, that's $100,000 in available credit. And a lot of them will give you a balance transfer. Well, they'll literally give you the money in cash into your account without you having to pay anything more than a transfer fee of 3 or 4%. And you don't have to pay it back for 12 to 18 months, 0% interest. So it's a fantastic deal. That same $100,000 in credit, if you, let's say you're spending an average of $3,000 a month between groceries and gas and other expenses, now your credit utilization is 3% of that $100,000 instead of 60% if each of those cards only had a $1,000 limit. Does that make sense? You have 5 credit cards, you use up $3,000 of the total $5,000 available credit. On paper, it looks like you're using 60% of your available credit, and so you're not a good person to loan money to. But if you increase your credit limit and show that you have a lot more available credit, your utilization drops, which motivates banks to give you more money. Banks give people money when they prove that they don't need it. That's how loans work. If they can prove that you're very low risk, i.e. you have great credit utilization, great credit score, good income, and you don't really need the money, then we want to loan you money because you're a very low risk person. So that's how you show that you're low risk, is by having very high available credit and a low utilization of that credit. The second thing I would recommend is get rid of all of those minute expenses because they stack up. Like if you have a Netflix and an Amazon and an Apple and a Sling and all these different applications that you pay a monthly subscription for and your gym and everything else, those stack up. That extra $100 or $200 a month that you're spending, those stack up. And you should be stacking your cash instead of stacking your expenses. So I would recommend first, after you've looked at your credit and fixing it and spending those 3 to 6 months to ask banks to give you a higher credit limit on all of your credit cards, then look at how you can minimize all of your expenses. Now is not the time to immediately put all your money into gold or to start buying a bunch of crypto or to go into the real estate, to go into the stock market, because we don't know where the lows are. We don't know if we've reached that ultimate low. What we do know is cash is king and credit is queen. If you have access to cash or you have those savings, you have that leverage, you have that available credit, you will be prepared when that opportunity comes up. So first, fix your credit. Second, minimize expenses and stack some cash. Third, study. Get ready for the opportunity. Opportunity happens when preparation meets consistency. When you are prepared for that opportunity and you know you've been studying it, when a deal comes by, like, oh man, that Rolex watch, it's always worth $25,000. It's been like that for the past 3 years. If anything continues to climb, I know I'm going to be able to sell it because I'm buying something that people actually want and not something that people want to sell. And an opportunity comes up for you to buy it at 8, 10, or 12, you know that's a great investment opportunity. When you've been studying the real estate market, you understand cap rates, you understand the using tenants, you understand property managers, and you know what the value of this home or this commercial property is, and you learn how to get loans and how to use leverage and how to flip contracts and wholesale. You study, you're prepared. When an opportunity comes up, you'll have the confidence to pull that trigger and make that decision. But there's a step for it. All the preparation, all the studying in the world is not enough if you don't have the cojones to make the move. You build the cojones by preparing and building your credit, stacking your cash, and studying. And when all those three are in line and ready, you will come out of this recession as a way more financially prudent, successful person. So get ready. The recession is coming if we're not already in it. There will be plenty of opportunities. And the people that actually prepare for it and the ones that are studying from day one are preparing their credit right now, are stacking up cash and are waiting for the opportunity to pounce, they're the ones that win. In the past 100 years, they have been at least five major recessions, five major market corrections, where over 25% of the market was decimated. Well, more than 50% of the market has been decimated in May of 2022. Where do you think that puts us? This has been the highest hike for loans from the federal government, the highest hike for interest rates ever in the history of America. We've printed more cash in the past 2 years than we've printed since the inception of America. Now's the time. Prepare for this recession, fix your credit, stack up that cash, and study. The opportunity will come. I'm attorney Ali Awad, the CEO lawyer. That's my thoughts on the real estate market, cryptocurrency, and NFTs. I hope you had some benefit from this show. Please tune in for our next one because we're going to keep going deeper and deeper on these topics. And as always, if you have any feedback or questions that you like, put them in the comments. Shoot me a DM on Instagram. I'm always looking to get feedback from my community. Thank you all so much, and I'll see you on the next one.